passing Rabbah at the beginning of the second parak of Hilchos Tridim Musafim. The Rambam writes as follows: Mitzvahs asei liyot eish yekuda tamira al mizbeach shenema eish tamid yikara al mizbeach. There is a mitzvah that there should always be a flame kindled on the mizbeach, the Mishkan, and then the Beis Hamikdash. And we know such from the pasuk in this week's parsha, which says, a flame should be on the Mizbeach at all times. It shall not ever go out. But when Rabbah gets really interesting is the next sentence. He says, says the Rambam that despite the fact that the fire from the Mizbeach descended from the heavens, nonetheless, there is a requirement for the Kohanim to bring a regular flame to the Mizbeach each and every day. Even though there was some sort of supernatural occurrence, a hot coal came down from the skies and a little flame on the Mizbeach straight from God, every day the Kohanim had to bring their own fire to the Mizbeach. So the halacha is interesting on multiple levels. First of all, the content itself. What does it mean? Why? If God lit a flame on the Mizbeach, so that should be the end of the story. God can keep that flame going for all time. What does he need us for? And number two, for those who are more familiar with the Rambam doesn't always digress this way or give us these kind of details. We might have expected the Rambam simply to say there's a mitzvah to bring an ash to the Mizbeach every day. Why is it important for the Rambam to note that despite the fact that there's a fire that came from God, we still have to bring our own fire each and every day? So you'll tell me, Rabbi, the Rambam is just quoting the Gemara. After all, there's a brisa that appears in two different places, in Erevin and in Yoma, which says exactly this. Afal b'isha esh yordam in ha-shamayim, mitzvah la'av yesh min ha-edyot b'chol yom, even though the fire came from the heavens, there's a mitzvah to bring it each and every day. I'll say you're right.
The Rambam is quoting a brisa.
And then I'll ask you, do you know who the Rambam is quoting? Do you know who says this in the Gemara? Anybody want to guess? You guess. Who do you think is the author of this statement in the Gemara? Take a guess. Can't hurt. The Rambam in the Gemara? No. Huh? Tana Kama. Okay. Nope. It wasn't the anonymous first voice of the Gemara. Shmuel. Okay, anybody else? Rav. Anybody else?
Rabbi Yochanan.
Rabbi Yochanan. I think I'll be asking, hearing from the same person each time. Anybody else?
Rabbi.
Okay. The Rambam is quoting no other than Nadav and Avihu. Nadav and Avihu. The Braisa says, who's Nadav and Avihu? Sons of Aaron, who? We're killed. Exactly. Not exactly like the top of the list when it comes to great tzaddikim of all time. So, the Braisa says, Lo Nesu Nadav and Avihu, Ad Shedarshu Halacha, Lifnei Moshe Rab. The Nadav and Avihu didn't die until they taught a halacha in front of Moshe, their teacher. Umay darshu. And what do they teach? Afa bisha eish yarda min ha-shamayim. Mitzvah l'havi min ha-hedjos b'chol yom. What are they teaching from Moshe?
That God can kill? This is what they taught. That even though a flame came down from the heavens, it's a mitzvah to bring your own fire each and every day. So the Rambam is bringing down a halacha
said by Nadav and Avihu, which got them killed. So what's going on? How are we supposed to understand what this halacha is?
What it means? Why Nadav and Avihu got killed for teaching it? And yet the Rambam quotes it as the first halacha in the second parak.
So I want to suggest to you this morning that although this halacha appears in Hilchos Tmidim u'Musafim, although it seems to be a halacha related to the Mizbeach and things that happen in the Beis Hamikdash, in reality this halacha is a lot more. This halacha is about you and me.
It's about the last week. You know, next week, Pesach will be here. And if you read the Haggadah twice,
at least twice,
in the Haggadah, we'll say something that we're very familiar with, we probably read it right over because it's so part of the way we live, we don't stop to think. We'll talk about being here in exile today, and Lashana Haba in Yerushalayim HaDunya, that next year we hope to be in a rebuilt Yerushalayim. And I challenge you to stop and think when you say that next week when you read it. You really want to be in a rebuilt Jerusalem next year? I mean, Philly's pretty good. And the truth of the matter is, Jerusalem's pretty good. Just the way it is. I mean, I would assume most of us have been there. It's a great place to hang out. Great place to be inspired. Great place to eat food. I mean, do we really, really believe that we hope that next year, instead of just going to the hotel, I can go up the steps and into some large building where I can slaughter sheep and goats and put them on an open fire? I mean, does that really get me excited?
So I think if any of us have ever struggled
with issues of faith, feeling the presence of God in this world, then yes, we should be able to say this with a tremendous amount of confidence.
Because putting karbonos aside, putting aside whatever happened in the Beis Hamikdash, what we know about the Beis Hamikdash,
is the place you could go and feel the presence of God with no doubts whatsoever.
It was a place where you walked in and it was so clear to you that God was there, it would erase any doubts. Shlomo HaMelech, after he builds it, gives this magnificent speech about the Beis HaMikdash and says it's the place where God listens,
where you know that God is listening. So, incredibly, this entire speech says nothing about Karbanos, by the way.
He says it's a makom tefillah. It's a place to go to pray when anything bad happens in life. It's a place you run
because it's a place where you know God is listening. You feel Him. Your doubts become erased.
It's a place where the Eishes Yored Min HaShamayim. It's a place where the fire came down from the heavens, meaning you saw God there.
You felt His presence in this world.
And so I think the halacha that's brought down in the second paragraph of the
Musafim of the Rambam suggests this to us. That in the world of the Beis Hamikdash, in a world where God's presence is so clear, where all doubts have been erased, it's so easy for us
to throw our hands up and say, there's nothing left for me. God is in control. God's here. He's doing everything. There's no room, no need for me to be involved, because after all, He's the one who's responsible. I don't have to take responsibility because He's in control. I'm not actually making any decisions. He's made them for me.
And so Chazal come along and say, no,
It's not what the Torah teaches. The Torah teaches us that even in a place where the Eish is Yorid and Hashemayim, even in a place where it's so clear that God is there, there's a halacha that Kohanim have to bring their own Eish every day. They have to get involved. It's a reminder to them that even when it's so clear that God is there, you cannot fall back and say, I'm not responsible anymore. It's all in God's hand. Whatever He does, He does. I have no responsibility in this world. You can't say that. Each and every day, you take a fire from someplace else, a regular, plain old fire, and you bring it to the Mizbeach, you do your part. You have to do your part. Despite the fact that God is there and He's real and He's involved in you. So what about that other Navi? How they get killed for teaching this? So what does it mean that Nadav and Avihu taught Allah in front of Moshe, their teacher? So what? What does it mean? What do you guys think? What are Chazal trying to tell us when they put these words into the mouths of Nadav and Avihu? What does it mean? So what? They taught it in front of Moshe. God. What do you think that means? What does it suggest about Nadav and Avihu?
Asking if it's true.
Okay.
So they weren't even, they didn't even know if it was true or not. They just taught it, like making up, I'm not sure, but they made it up.
Okay. Anybody else? What else might it say about Nadav and Avihu? Disrespected him, why?
Moshe can teach also.
Okay. Moshe can teach, yeah?
Coming after his position.
They're what?
Coming after his position.
Coming after his position? Oh, coming after his position, meaning they want to be the teachers.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Anybody else? So I think it's all right. I think it's all right, but I think it all suggests something underlying that I'm going to be. I think it suggests a sense of arrogance. It suggests a sense of I know everything. It suggests that another one of you came to this halacha with a sense of cynicism. Oh, I know. Come on, Moshe, stop. I know what's going on. Let me tell you. There's nothing wrong with suggesting something in an idea in front of your teacher, but there's something very wrong with walking into Torah with an assumption that you know everything before you even started. There's something very wrong with the attitude of cynicism and arrogance that doesn't even allow you to read the words, because you know what happens? When you do that, you end up reading in a way that's so different from what it was intended. You take the very same halacha, and all of a sudden it sounds very different. The halacha was right, but Nadav and Avihu didn't read it as even though the Eish comes from the Shamayim. We have a responsibility to do our part. None of the Nadir read it as, even though once upon a time the sweater came from God, now we're in church. Now it's all us. God, okay, gave me once. Not anymore. Now we're in church. And you know what happens when you read it that way? You start bringing in whatever kind of fire you want. And that's exactly what Nadav and Avihu did. Because God's not really involved anymore. He started it once, He gave over the world to us, now we're in charge. It's not there anymore. The Eish came from Shemayim and with us. So I think there were two really critical lessons for us to learn from this halacha and the way of looking. The first is that one of the greatest challenges of living a life of Torah and Mitzvos, of living a religious life, is not actually just following the halachas. It's not just believing in God, it's finding balance in our life. It's finding that balance between belief in God and belief in ourselves. It's easy to go to one extreme, it's harder to find something in between. It's the balance between engaging in this world and withdrawing from it. It's the balance between influencing others and protecting ourselves. That balance which we're constantly struggling to find. It's the age that's yearning in Hashemayim and the age that we have to bring ourselves. We've got to find that balance. It's so hard sometimes. It's two sides of this equation, but to find that balance, that's hard. That's at the core of what the Torah wants from us. Not just the nation of Shemayim, not just our own ish, but somehow a combination of the two. The second lesson, is to remind us that if you're really looking, if you're really looking to find that, if you're really looking to be touched by the Torah, attitude is everything. Come to the Torah, come to your classes, come to Parsha Shavua, come to any sefer that's on the shelf here with an attitude, with a sense that I know what I know, and I'm not going to let anything else convince me otherwise. I know better. I can be donated to Halacha L'Flei Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not going to find anything. You're going to read the very same text in a way that leads to bringing an ancient side, a foreign flame before God. The very same text will be read in a way that's so different from the way it was intended. But open up that text with an open mind, with a sense of humility, the sense that I may not know everything, haven't seen everything, others may have something to teach me. And all of a sudden, we find that the Kohanim Levi's HaMikdash, all of a sudden, even in this world, Talibis HaMikdash, God's presence, the reality of God in this world becomes all too real. Challenge you as we go into this Shabbat and as we go into Pesach to think about both of those things. Are you finding balance?